bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14 that God's presence will be with God's people and He will give them rest. God's presence will be with God's people and He gives them rest. In verse 13, Moses said to God, he said, "I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." The believer has God's presence with him. The presence of God goes before the believer. The believer has God's presence with him. And that presence of God is why we have rest. Now, the presence of God in the Old Testament was depicted by the ark. And this is why there was such a big deal about the ark, because God met them over the ark. And the Word of God says this about handling the ark in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 14. "So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord." The children of the Levites were sanctified. The presence of God comes when I am sanctified. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but it means that I am sanctified. I'm set apart unto God for His purposes, for service to Him. I'm sanctified to God. When a person becomes sanctified unto God, the presence of God enters their life. And it can be so powerful that it's palpable to that person. A person who lives in the presence of God and is accustomed to living in the presence of God can instantly discern if it departs. They can instantly discern when it changes. As a believer, I need the presence of God in my life. The presence of God is that which quickens me in my life. It is that which gives me confidence in my circumstances. It is that which energizes me when things are difficult or perhaps exhausting. The presence of God is crucial for my life. If I want the presence of God, I need to be sanctified. Now, that's not to say that I would not be born again. But that means that I will not have that experience of God's presence, that I won't be able to sense it, and that it doesn't necessarily go before me. That sense of oneness and unity is not just a sense of understanding that I'm one and united with Him. It is a palpable presence that a believer experiences. It is not too different than, let's say, Zach over here next to me. Okay, I can kind of sense that he's there. I can look away, but I know that he's there and I can sense his presence. Have you ever had it happen that you're doing something and someone walks in the room, but you don't see them? But then you sense their presence and you turn around and there they are? It's that kind of a presence of God. It is real. It is a genuine, real presence. I need the presence of God as a believer. I can't do without the presence of God. Because if I lose the presence of God, then in my experience, I'm abiding alone. That's a difficult place for a believer to be. If I don't have a cross in my life, sanctification will never happen. Because I am sanctified by the Word. In order for that to be the case, in order for the Word of God to take over my life, then I need the cross. I will either have the life of the Word, or I'll have the life of self. The life of the cross is the life of the Word. This is why Galatians 2:20 says that, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Because He is the Word. And so the life of the cross is the life of the Word. And so I am sanctified by the life of the Word that I enter into through a cross. If there is no cross, there is no setting apart. If there is a cross, then I am set apart. And so, if I am set apart, I enjoy God's presence. God's presence is where I find strength, where I find joy, where I find peace. God's presence is where I find confidence. God's presence is where I can go through things and not be destroyed by them, because I have the presence of God going before me. Now, the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves, the poles, therein, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Why would they carry the ark of God upon their shoulders? It's not because it was heavy. I'm sure it was heavy, but the poles were fairly long. So why carry it? Why couldn't you just get some strong Levites and carry it like a wheelbarrow on two sides, you know, kind of like the other guy picking up the other end? You know, and you carry the ark that way in your hands. But it wasn't in their hands, it was on their shoulders. It had to rest on their shoulders. The reason why it had to be on their shoulders was because there had to be no work involved. There had to be no natural strength. The strength of their arms could not be what held up the ark. It had to rest on them, but not rest in their strength. You see, the ark of God, the presence of God in my life, is what fights on my behalf. Because that presence is the presence of a real God. It's not a theological concept, it's a real person. They're present with me, and He fights on my behalf. He goes before me, and His presence goes before me, and He gives me rest. So I cannot carry the presence of God except on my shoulders, because otherwise I'm trying to strive. Otherwise I'm trying to produce something. Otherwise I'm trying to work up the presence of God. And it cannot be worked up. It has to be on my shoulders. It rests on me. When it rests on me, I can rest in it. It is possible to be a believer who does not practice the presence of God. In other words, a believer who does not meditate, a believer who does not get into the Word of God, a believer who does not pray, a believer who does not chew the Word of God, fellowship with the Holy Spirit in his own heart. There are believers like that. This kind of a person, while they may have an outward appearance of godliness, denies the power of that godliness. In other words, what is the power of my life? The power of my life is the presence of God. Why can a person, for example, live purely? Why can a person live with a life dedicated to God? Why can a person walk in a call even though things may be very difficult because they are walking in the call? How is it that a person can stand in dangerous times for a believer, in perilous times? How is it that I can withstand perhaps attacks? Or how can I withstand personal issues, maybe financial problems or problems in relationships? This only takes place in the presence of God. Apart from the presence of God, I won't be sustained in my life with God. It is imperative that I practice the presence of God, because without that, I won't continue. There may be a part of my life that has great will, and that will carries me a certain distance, but it is still me who is producing it. Eventually, will runs out. Eventually, natural strength comes to an end. Eventually, drive ceases, and I get to the end of myself in exhaustion. A person like that may quit. a person like that may become a casualty in the spiritual warfare. Only in the presence of God will I be sustained. Only in the presence of God will I have the energy to continue. Only in the presence of God will I have the conviction that despite sight, I continue with Him. The presence of God sustains the believer. This is what sustained Israel, but it could not be in their own effort. It had to be in God's presence. The Word of God says in 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 3 in the B part of the verse, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and His people. When I live in the presence of God, I have to live in that presence through His Word. Through the doctrine that I receive, through the impartation of the mind of God, that is found in the church, in the house of God. Why is it so imperative that believers gather together much more as they see the day approaching? Because it's in the house of God that I am imparted the presence of God. What do I mean? I'm taught how to think with the Word of God in the house of God. When the Word of God is resident in my heart, the presence of God is not a burden on my shoulders. It is possible for a believer to not have the Word of God governing his life, but the presence of God still be present. In that case, that presence can become a burden to him. For example, the believer may know that something is the will of God, but he doesn't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to sustain him in that, because he is void of doctrine. A believer may know that there is a call, but that believer will not be sustained in the call without doctrine resident in their heart. So the presence of God is not a burden to me so long as doctrine is present in my heart. But if doctrine is not present in my heart, the presence of God will be difficult. I'll say something like, God called me, but how am I going to do this? I can't do the call. I can't perform your call. I can't perform your will, God. And this is true. That person cannot. The fallacy in it is that they actually once thought that perhaps this is what God wanted from them. God desires that I give Him my heart so that He can be present, so that I would be sanctified. God does not desire for me to give Him my heart to be sanctified so that I can work something up for Him. This was the mistake of the Galatians. I don't work it up. God works it in. There's a big difference. I don't work it up. God works it in. What do? I choose with positive volition to receive. That's what I do. In other words, I go to the house of the Lord. I hear the Word of God preached. I listen to the messages and I masticate and I meditate on them and I masticate their content. I put in a disc or a recording on my iPod and I listen again and I listen again and I listen again until it becomes substance in my heart. When it becomes substance in my heart, the presence of God is no burden. The presence of God is profoundly easy for a person like that. This is why the Word of God says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." By the way, God does give you a burden. It is a light burden. His presence is my light burden. This is where I find rest. That's what Exodus 33:14 told us. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When I am weary, when things are difficult, when perhaps I feel like it's too much for me, maybe I want to quit, give up, enter the presence of God. Don't see what you can produce, and don't look at your ability or inability. Just enter the presence of God. When Israel fought with some of their enemies, for example, they went into Jericho, it was the presence of God that won their victory. It wasn't the ark itself, it was what the ark represented. Remember, they tried to take the ark into battle as though it were some kind of a voodoo thing, like a good luck charm. And what happened there? They got beaten. And it didn't work for them. Because they didn't understand what the presence of God was. The presence of God wasn't in the box. The box represented something. And it was a visual thing that they could focus on, much like the serpent that Moses built in the wilderness. It was something that they could focus on, where they would gather their thoughts, they would gather their people, and they would come together, and they would focus on God, and they would worship Him, and they would hear His Word, and they would learn of Him. But the box itself was not the presence of God. Remember that God said, I would meet you over the mercy seat. He would be above the mercy seat. He didn't say He would be the mercy seat. So God went where the ark went, unless there was no sanctification. When there is sanctification, God goes where I go. When there is no sanctification, though I am saved, though He indwells me, He is quenched, or He is grieved, and His presence doesn't follow. I have to be careful about this. God's presence doesn't follow me. I follow God's presence. Never think that God's presence is going to follow you. You follow God's presence. In other words, where you lead me, God, that's where I will go. In verse 15, Moses said unto God, if thy presence goes not with me, carry us not up hence. If your presence doesn't go with me, God, don't take me. Don't ask me to go if you're not going ahead of me. It's easy for me to try to go ahead of God. Very easy. People who are impatient, what are they impatient towards? They're trying to get ahead of God. People who have a desire and they can't reconcile the fact that sometimes God says wait, and they want their desire now, and they can't reconcile the two. They try to get ahead of the presence of God. A person who may have a call that's already been defined on their life, that is not willing to wait on God to produce that call into their life, to bring them into that call, but they want to take it up in their natural ability, that person is getting ahead of God's presence. Don't get ahead of God's presence. Let God's presence take you where God's presence would have you go. But don't get ahead of God's presence. When I say God's presence, I'm not talking about a feeling of presence. Sometimes you feel Him, sometimes you don't. But the Holy Spirit in you, communicating to your human spirit, recognizes what's going on. His presence is discerned, not felt. Sometimes we can feel His presence. Perhaps there is a particularly edifying worship song and we can feel God's presence flowing in, and that is fine, but that's not what I'm referring to here. It's a different sort of an expression. I'm saying the presence of God in my life. I'm saying there's the difference between being alone and being with someone. God desires for me to be with Him. It's good if my desire is the same. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That means that there is a possibility that I could try to do something apart from Him. This is the person who's walking outside of His presence. But He says, through Him I can do all things. In His presence everything is possible. The beautiful thing is, in His presence I don't need sight. I have assurance. Assurance is better than sight, because sight is fleeting. Sight looks one way one day and another way another day. But assurance from God is unchanging. It's unyielding. So I know that I can stand on the assurances God gives and His promises, because they don't change. Because God knows the end from the beginning. God knows when and how circumstances will change, how hearts will change, how other people will come and go. He knows these things, although I do not. And so I walk in the presence of God, not depending on that which is external, not depending on the way things appear, but depending entirely on the assurances that He gives me in His Word. Depending entirely on the confidence that I have, because I believe His promises, because I know they are true. You see, here's the thing about the promises of God. You can't just say to yourself, I have faith in them, and kind of define your faith in a practical way as though it were a wishful thought. But I honestly believe that's how some believers live. They think that wishful thinking and faith are the same thing. I have faith that God will do it, I hope. That's all. They don't add the I hope, but that's really what they're saying. I have faith that God will do it, I hope. But that's not an assurance, and that's not confidence. I know what God will do. God will do exactly what He says He will do. And that is a greater certainty than any other thing that is out there. There is nothing that compares to God's Word in certainty. There is nothing that compares to God's promises in certainty. You may think that your sight is more concrete than God's Word, but your situation changes. It's fluid. Changes on a dime. One day you get a phone call and the world is different. One day you just drive down the street and the world changes. Isn't that what happened on 9/11? I mean, people went to work in the morning and then in the afternoon they would say, hey, go home guys, this is not... And the world was entirely different within an hour. The world changed. But how many people were so very confident? How many people felt very powerful because perhaps they lived in America and they felt like very secure in our national ability and our national security? And they felt very secure being in this country, like nothing that is over there can touch us. But the world changed. Or those precious people who lost loved ones in the attack, their worlds changed so profoundly. Or maybe somebody's just living in their home and one day a loved one or they themselves maybe has a heart attack and their world changes. What do you put your stock in? Like, where is your assurance? Is it in your circumstances, in your money, in your relationships? Is it in your ability? Don't strong men grow weak? A strong man. I'm like my strength is my confidence. Really? I know people who were strong, but things have happened to them, and very quickly their strength was meaningless. Maybe they end up in a wheelchair. Maybe they end up with some illness. Something happens and their strength is no longer there. If your strength is in a place other than the presence of God, your strength will leave you. But if your strength is in the presence of God, your strength will last forever. You will have a strength that endures in all things if it is in the presence of God. Be confident in what God has said, more confident than the things you can see. Because the things you can see will change, but God's word never does. The presence of God is unchanging. The difference is whether I'm walking in it or not. Is it going before you, or are you going before it? It is better that the presence of God goes before you. Because if you go before it, you may not win your battles. If it goes before you, you can't lose them. How do I apply that in my practical life? I have a decision to do. I have an undertaking. Pray. Meditate on promises. When you pray, take God's promises to the throne. Why? He can't deny His word. You want to know that you're going to get an answer to prayer? Take His promises to the throne, because He cannot deny His word. Practice His presence. Live in an awareness that He is there, right there with you. Know the reality of what it means that He will never leave you nor forsake you, because He won't. Often people don't sense His presence because they're trying to live by something other than every word of God. Sometimes they try to live by an emotion and they want to feel His presence. Feeling His presence and sensing it is not the same thing. It's like we said, it's not an emotion, it's a discernment. I know the presence of God is there, but I also know when it's not. When I'm walking in the light, as He is in the light, then I will have the presence of God. If I want to walk in darkness, I won't lose my salvation, but it doesn't mean that He's going to join me in that darkness either. He may meet me to bring me out, but He won't walk into it with me. Just like the prodigal son, the father met him when he was coming out. He was waiting for him. He was watching. He was praying. But he would not go with him into that place. The presence of God is the place where I don't leave. Now the other son did not live in the presence of God because he left, but only in his heart. But it was just as far away. The presence of God, it goes before you and it fights your battles. It's easy. The presence of God is an easy burden when you learn of the Savior. The Word of God is what gives me the ability to carry God's presence on my shoulders. There is no strength required for the shoulders. No human energy, no human production. Just rest it on the shoulder. I'll let my design take care of the rest. See, this is why they could do it, because the body was designed in such a way that it could carry great weight even if the person wasn't very strong. But even the thigh bone can carry, 2,000 pounds without too much trouble. So they could just lay it on their shoulders and live in their design. And let it rest there, and it took no effort. They just lived in their design. They were what God made them to be. There was no striving. That was just correct thinking. And in that, they find victory. The Word of God says in 1 Chronicles 13:7, they carried the Ark of God. This was when David was taking the Ark out of the away from the Philistines. They carried the Ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. They shouldn't have put the presence of God in a cart. But nothing happened yet. Somebody loaded that ark onto the cart, but nothing happened. And there were men who were driving the cart and nothing happened. And there were people surrounding the cart of the ark and nothing happened. You see, it wasn't so much in the fact of my humanity and my lack of understanding, and it wasn't in the fact that I am ignorant that I get in trouble. You see, these men, they did that because they did not know how to handle the presence of God. But even that did not get them into trouble. Because the ark was sitting in the cart, it was there and it was moving, and the oxen were pulling and it was going right along. But something did happen. And it says in verse 9, when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Where I get in trouble is when I put my hands on the presence of God and I try to hold it. This is why it had to be on the shoulders, no striving, no human effort. But Uzzah said, through human effort, I will protect the presence of God. Through human understanding, I will protect the presence of God. And God was displeased. God wasn't thrilled, I'm sure, because it was against the way that Moses said to do it, that they put the ark on the cart. But that wasn't what made him angry. God understood ignorance. God understands our ignorance. God understands us, even though it's not His perfect will. God understands us when we perhaps kind of wander around a little bit, or when we make a mistake. God understands our lives. He understands when we don't get things right every time. Maybe we went a little bit to the right or to the left, but our hearts were still right before Him, but our ignorance caused us to stray a little bit. And God knew that. And this is in Luke 15:4-5, where He goes after the person. You see, this is an amazing thing. It says that when a man having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. The same place that carried the presence of God. What is this saying? That for God, my life is not a burden. For God, it's not a difficult thing to take care of my mistakes. For God, there is nothing unpleasant in dealing with me. There's nothing that would strain His capacity in dealing with us. He puts us on His shoulders. That means He's resting in His ability toward us. We carry His presence on our shoulders. We rest in His ability toward us. Be confident in God. Be confident in God. You can rest in His presence. You may say to yourself, what if I make a mistake? Then He will put you on His shoulders. And He will bring you back to where you belong. Be confident in God. God may allow you to take a few steps over there and a few steps over here because you do have a volition. But He doesn't let you go too far to where it would damage you. His love for you is greater than your volition. If God sees there is a problem, it's not a burden to Him to take care of it. I think believers sometimes think they are burdens to God, but they're not. They're not His burden, they're His purpose. They're why He came. He made them for Himself. He loves them. They are His bride. They are not a burden to God. How many of you have thought that I am a burden? No, you are not. You are not a burden. God delights in you. He delights in your company. I'm not very good company. You are to Him. He delights in your company. He delights in talking to you. He loves when you talk to Him. He likes spending time with you in your prayer, in your meditation, in your focus on the Word. He likes when you take your problems to Him. He wants to hear about them. He even wants to know about it when you get angry or hurt. You have something you're angry about, tell God all about it. He wants to hear it. The beautiful thing is He has perfect understanding as to what it is that you're saying and why you're saying it. You see, His presence is your rest. God doesn't mind your ignorance, although He doesn't want you to live in it either. He'll teach you and He'll show you the right way. Never get condemned because of ignorance. Can you imagine a child? Can you imagine a little 3-year-old being condemned because they can't do calculus? For that matter, I can't do calculus and I'm not condemned. And I took calculus and I still can't do it. But can you imagine a 3-year-old being condemned because they can't do calculus? The presence of God doesn't condemn you. It restores you. The ark, why it was so important, is because it is us. The ark was us. In other words, in Exodus 25, from 10 to 17, it gives us a description of the ark and how it was to be built. And it was made of wood, acacia wood. And it had a specific size and a specific length, and it was overlaid with pure gold. Now, the thing about that is that wood in the Bible is a picture of people, of man. We are wood. And our faith is gold. When a man's life is covered in faith, the presence of God is there. He becomes the vessel for that presence. And they made it in gold, and it was. They put rings and they put poles, and the poles were also made of wood and overlaid in gold, and the rings were gold. And the poles were never to be taken out from the rings. Why? So that the presence of God could always rest on the shoulders of man. God carries us as we carry His presence. Our life is covered in faith, and the presence of God is made manifest. This is the thing, folks. You may be anxious or afraid at certain points in your life. You don't need to be, but you might be. If you are, God's plan comes to pass anyway. If you are, God is faithful. If you are, God is faithful anyway. You see, God is going to purify that gold. And the way that He purifies that gold is through the trial of your faith. And God purifies that gold. In other words, my faith is purified in trials. How can a faith be purified in trials? Faith brings hope. Experience. Things that do not disappoint. You see, this is the thing about faith. That it brings an experience that gives a hope that never disappoints. In other words, I've gone through the trial, and the next one, I say, I know how God operates in trials. He will come through for me. I know how God operates when I'm attacked. He will come through for me. I know that if somebody comes against me, they have to go against God, and God will go against them, and He will come through for me. I know if I have a weakness or a problem, He will cause me to overcome by upholding me with His hands. I know that if I fail, He will pick me up. I know that if I fail, He will say there is no condemnation and He will take away my accusers. You see, I know these things of Him, and that as one trial follows another trial, I learn the ways of God and my faith is purified toward Him. No longer is my faith riddled with impurities such as doubt, such as fear, such as anxiety. Now it's a pure faith where those things have been gotten rid of because I have experienced these things before and I have seen the hand of God in my life and I know what God does and I know what He can do and I know what He will do because I have His promises, I have prayer, I have assurances from the throne, I have the presence of God. And in these things, I find rest. The presence of God meets me above the mercy seat. In Exodus 25 and verse 22, the presence of God meets me above the mercy seat. I rest in the mercy of God. Even if I'm in the midst of the worst failure of my life, I rest in the mercy of God, and His presence meets me there. God did not forsake the sinner. God came for him. How many religious people would forsake a sinner? But God came for him. How many Pharisees said to Jesus, if you knew what sort of woman that was, they thought about Him, right? If He knew what sort of woman that was when she was washing His feet with her tears and her hair, then He wouldn't let her touch Him. Do you know why God came to that man's house? To have His feet washed by her tears and her hair. It was her that He came for, not for the Pharisee. Oh, He would have come for, He did, and He would have come for the Pharisee if he would simply respond to the presence of God. He came to some, Joseph of Arimathea, for example, or Nicodemus. He came for them, and they were Pharisees. But they didn't have that Pharisaical spirit. But in that house, He was there for the woman. Who else is recorded that day? It's the woman. He knew she'd be there. The ones that they said, if He only knew what sort of woman she was, He knew she would be there, and He came for her. The presence of God meets you above the mercy seat. The publican met the presence of God when he went. And when he went to him asking for mercy, no one was ever denied when they asked for mercy, because the presence of God is there. When the presence of God takes you somewhere, it will take care of you. This is a real thing. This is not saying it will take care of you theologically or just spiritually. It will take care of you spiritually, but more than that. In Joshua chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, "It will come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan will be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." And in verse 15, "And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of the harvest." And in verse 17, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan." God gives a promise, then He gives the realization of that promise, and the promise becomes a provision for others. This is how it works. In God's presence, there are promises. If you live in the presence of God, He will give you promises. He will, in John 16:13, show you the things to come. He will guide you in all truth. He will give you promises. Now, at first, all a person has is a promise. But just as sure as the promise is given, the realization of that promise will come to pass. In other words, God promised, as soon as the soles of your feet touch the water will part. The river will stop flowing, the ground will be dry, and the river will literally heap up as it is not flowing toward you. That was the promise. Then they took a step of faith because they had the presence of God going before them. And in the presence of God, they took a step of faith. And they put their foot, as they carried the ark upon their shoulders, as they carried His presence upon their shoulders, they put their foot onto the water. And the sole of their foot, as it touched the water went out from under their foot and separated. And not just the water that was the river, but also the water that was in the soil under the river. It was dry ground. And so the priests received the promise. And the promise that the priest received then became a provision for the rest of Israel. And it is like that in the believer's life. The believer faces a challenge. The believer has to deal with something. The believer perhaps has a call. The believer is waiting somehow upon God. And he gets a promise from God. Just as sure as the promise is given, the promise will be fulfilled. And that believer enters into the fulfillment of the promise as they take a step onto that river situation in their life. And just as soon as they touch that circumstance, they take that step of faith, they make that decision, they start operating in what they believe, the river parts. And they see God come through for them. They see God be faithful to them. They see God take care of them. They see God provide for them. They see God take away the enemies. They see God putting into people's hearts favor for them. They see things happen that really shouldn't be happening, that there's no reasonable explanation other than the fact that God had done it for them. They see God come through. And once God comes through, the confidence that they then have in God builds confidence in other believers. And those believers start to walk in the presence of God. Those other people start to live in the promises of God because they saw it work in your life. Those other people dare to take a step of faith because they saw your steps of faith were steps unto substance and not unto wishful thoughts. And their lives get changed. And the capacity is built in them for steps of faith, to pick up the promises, to have them fulfilled, to become life to other people. The presence of God is not something I put in my pocket. The presence of God flows from me unto you. The presence of God is not something I keep for myself. It won't stay there. The presence of God stays as it's being poured out on others. The presence of God is what delivers me. The presence of God is what took down the Jericho walls. That's why the priests were blowing the trumpets, so that people would follow the presence of God. That's why pastors preach the Word of God in purity and truth. Without watering it down, they preach the full counsel of God's Word, not pet doctrines, not pet peeves, but simply preaching purely, blowing the trumpet, so others will follow into the presence of God. And then we as a body see the victory. Never be afraid to trust the presence of God in your life. It is profoundly powerful. This is why no one could touch you. This is why you're an overcomer. This is why God can with confidence say He gives you the victory. Because your life is in the presence of God. Amen.